So where are you from? I was born in Atlanta, Georgia. Born in 1971. Do the math real quick. Yeah, I love that. He's a baby. I'll only turn 50 this year, but born in Atlanta, Georgia. I lived there for 3 years of my life, in which time my parents then moved to Owensboro, Kentucky, the borough. For those of you out there on internet, maybe we have some people in the borough today, but lived in the Owensboro for 9 years before it came time for us to move again. When we moved up to Lafayette, Indiana, I was 12 years old. I had been speaking, my mom says, pretty much since I was born, but I had been, you know, I'd been having this, constructing this way of speaking, my dialect, my accent from Owensboro, Kentucky, and I moved to Lafayette. And immediately the question was, well, where are you from? Because I talked about the thing that went behind our house as a stream and not a crick. Get that? A crick. I said, what's a crick? They said, you know, that thing of water. I said, a creek? No, a crick. But they wanted to know where I was from. Where was I from? I then enjoyed being in Lafayette, Indiana so much, and I looked at where to go to school, and I went to Purdue University, a full 5 miles across the Ohio or across the Wabash River into West Lafayette, Indiana. And when you go off to college, when you go to a new school, what's the first thing they ask you? Where are you from? So where am I from? Was I from Lafayette Jefferson High School, where I'd spent the last few years? Was it Owensboro, Kentucky? Was it Atlanta, Georgia? I then, after Purdue University, I came to graduate school, to a seminary in Lexington, Kentucky. The seminary used to be down off Limestone, right across from Memorial Hall there on the UK's campus. When I arrived, where are you from? Well, I was there for 4 years in seminary, served a church in Shelbyville, Kentucky, and then left after I graduated to go back to Atlanta, Georgia, where I served a church there on the north side. Then was called back to Central Christian Church back in 2001. So if you do all the math, I have been now in the Lexington, Central Kentucky area for the last 25 years. That's over half of my life. So I've been doing a lot of webinars lately. You guys been doing these things too? And the first thing that they always ask when you get on there is, where are you from? So where am I from? It's important to understand where we are from because it says a little bit about who we are. Today in our text, we have two characters, two people that we get a chance to sit in and watch this meeting, to watch this coming together. We have Philip. Now, we've already met Philip. If you were here last Sunday, Philip was one of those that was brought up, promoted, blessed from within the church there in Jerusalem to help care for the new poor that had come into their community. Because the apostles, those that had been given the Holy Spirit, the tongues of flame at the very beginning of the book of Acts, they were more concerned with preaching the gospel and taking the word out, and they were letting go of the duties of feeding the poor. And so they said, especially to those poor that had come from outside of Jerusalem, so they promoted some from within the community to serve them. Now, remember, if you were here last week, we talked about the fact that by knowing what this person's name was, Philip, we recognize that this is a Greek name, that this is a person of Jewish descent, but they probably grew up outside of Jerusalem, up in the diaspora, in this diverse area that existed outside of Jerusalem, that this was not someone who is steeped in Jewish and Hebrewic tradition. This was an outsider who had come in, and they were lifted up to do one thing, and that was to feed those poor. They were not to be preaching or teaching the gospel. That was up to the apostles. So we don't know exactly where Philip was from, but we do know that he was from the outside. The next person that we get a chance to observe today in the story does not have a name. It is always fascinating to see when within the biblical narrative, people get names and when they don't. Certain times women are lifted up and named. Other times they are powerful players within the story, but don't have a name. Here we have the same thing. This person that we have, that we find in this chariot, making their way home, we're given two descriptions of who they are. The Ethiopian eunuch official. This is a person that when we think of things right now, we think Ethiopia, we think of a country that is within Africa. But the reality is that this is much earlier than our understandings of city-states like we have now. The actual term for Ethiopian in Greek, when you translate that, is burnt face. It also gives an idea of a placement of being south of Egypt. That included all of that place within Africa. And that this person is an official, but one without sex, neither male nor female, but with power, with authority as treasurer over all of this certain land. We're also given a little bit of an idea of who this person is because of what they had been doing. This person had been in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. So this person has Jewish heritage within him. And so, when these two people come together, we recognize a little bit about each of them, but do we know where they are from? When I think about where I'm from, maybe you do the same, it says something about who I am as to how I respond. Fascinating enough, my wife is from Louisville, Kentucky. Spent a majority of her time growing up there. If you go to Louisville, interesting enough, and they ask you where you're from, they want to know where you graduated high school. Anybody from Louisville out there? Got a few here. That said something about you when you said what high school you went to. I find it interesting that within the state of Kentucky, that people don't always refer to the place that they're from as being a city. Did anybody out there, when they referred to where they were from, actually say a county? And wonder why I didn't say my family moved to Davis County instead of Owensboro? Because I get that a lot. There's one minister friend that I have here that when I talk to him and I say, where is your church? He doesn't give me a city. He gives me a county. That doesn't help a whole lot to me, but it says everything for him. When I think about where I'm from, a lot of times I'll say, my family is all from Southern Georgia. that says a little bit about who I am. It talks about the importance of family. It also gives you an idea placement-wise within the geography of what that means. Maybe how my family speaks about the terrain, the landscape that exists down there. Sometimes when people ask where I'm from, I share that I graduated from Purdue University. And I do that because it had a profound effect on my life. It helps me to think a specific way. The ways that I come about any problem, whether it be one that you might find mathematically or even within the biblical narrative, if I'm looking to exegete a passage, I look at it through a framework that was influenced by my time at Purdue. But if you ask where my home is now, I'd say Central Kentucky. Because being here as long as I have has shaped the way that I see things, the way that I value things. And this last week when I was on the webinar, when they asked where I was from, I said White Oak Pond Christian Church. Because I'm proud of that placement. It says something about who I am as a person of faith, to be from a congregation that values the welcome, the respect, and the honoring of each and every child of God. I don't know if you noticed this when Rachel was reading the scripture or not, but there was an angel that was in the story. It said, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, if you've been around the church a lot, you know that whenever angels appear, something's going to happen. Within the book of Luke, Acts, remember, because Acts is part of the book of Luke, okay? You have to understand the whole thing. There are angels that come in the Gospel of Luke, all right? I'll give you, this is your homework, your fun thing. Think back to where all the angels come in the Gospel of Luke and also in Acts. You will find that every time an angel appears, they are there to set people free. They're to take people to freedom. The angel comes to the shepherds to take them to meet the baby Jesus. The angel comes to Mary to free her and to share with her that she will bring about the birth of the Lord. And here, you'll find throughout the Acts that the angel comes to take Peter, to take Paul, to take apostles out of jail, literally to take them from being in capture and to take in a jail and bringing them out into freedom. And here, these two people that are seemingly on the outside. Remember, Philip has been told to do one thing, feed the poor, not to worry about preaching the gospel. The apostles will take care of that. This Ethiopian official, this one who is neither male nor female, who is actually kept from when he goes to worship there in Jerusalem, he would not have been able to be a part of the ritualistic cleansing that happens, the bathing that happens as part of the Jewish faith. He would have been excluded because of who he was. But it is here that the angel brings these two people together, these two beautiful children of God. And it is here that we understand how far God is going to go in this world to share this beautiful gospel message of love. And that is to the ends of the world. If you thought that the world ended at the end of the Roman Empire, God is saying, no, I'm going further than that. We're going in to South Africa. And if you say, well, really, it's only to the Jewish people that are here, these Hebraic people that are passed down. God says, no, We're going to bring in preachers from outside of Jerusalem, from just those inner sanctum folks, and I'm going to show you what God's Holy Spirit can do. No matter where we are from, we have a place in God's heart. And we have a call to take this out into the world. You know, if I ask you now where you're from, would your answer have changed? And also, what would it mean to add to that claim that we are also part of a community that reaches out into the world with a gospel message like this? I hope that today that we can listen to the voice of angels, listen to the words spoken to us today, and take that invitation and embrace it to share with this world our why here at Pond, but also as part of the gospel that is larger than we are, and meet the people where they're at and share this message. Let us go with conviction, with courage, with strength, with passion, and with love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.